Good morning. Please be seated. Last month, Sarah called and asked if I would like to give the Father's Day sermon. My immediate question was, what are the scripture lessons for that Sunday? She laughed and said, "That's always the first thing Mike asks me whenever I ask him to preach." Whew, I was on the right track. The first thing I did when we hung up was to look up Luke 8, 26 to 39. I admit, I was a little taken back when I learned that the Father's Day sermon would be based on the story of Christ encountering the man known as Legion, who was full of many demons. Father's Day, man full of demons. Sarah later explained that since Father's Day was not a feast day, the lesson didn't correspond to Father's Day, and that I was free to preach on another passage. However, the more I thought and prayed about it, the more I realized that this passage was perfect, rich and full of great nuggets on how to be the best father each of us can be. Now, as my son Will would say, let's first take a Cliff's Notes look at this passage. Jesus and his disciples sailed across the lake from Galilee and stepped ashore in the region of Gerasenes, where they were met by a demon-possessed man from the town. Okay, let's get it in perspective. On a scale of 1 to 10, this man was possessed at a 10-plus level. He hadn't worn clothes for years, was wild both in his looks and his actions. They couldn't keep him in chains, and he lived outside the town in the tombs. We assume everyone was scared of him and didn't want to be around him. So why was Jesus there encountering this man known as Legion? Was it coincidental? Perhaps, but I don't think so. Several verses before this passage, Jesus told his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." This was not a joyride. Believe it is safe to assume Jesus was looking for this particular man. Which begs the question, does he look for us? Absolutely. And I believe it's important to hold on to that assurance. Another key is when Christ removed the demons from Legion, the change was dramatic, to say the least. This wild man suddenly was dressed in his right mind and at the feet of Jesus. This was not a subtle change. People didn't have to come up to Legion and say, "There's something different about you. Don't tell me. Did you lose weight?" No. Simply stated, this story demonstrates the utter power of Jesus' transforming love. Love that is available to each of us through grace. So what are the keys in this story for being the father God wants us to be? Let's start with love. Jesus sought Legion out of love for him and wanted Legion to be free of the demons and sin that had taken over his life. Out of love, he wanted the best for Legion. Out of love, we want the best for each of our children. Now work with me here. Fathers, close your eyes. Close your eyes and think of the most memorable times in your life. What do you remember? What do you see? If you're like me, it's the day you first met your spouse and your wedding day. I wager you're also picturing the first moment you laid eyes on each of your children. You could open your eyes. I vividly remember the first time I saw Will and Katie and held them. Simply put, that is pure love. I'm reminded of the classic country song by George Strait. Don't worry, Ray, I promise I won't sing. But the last verse goes like this. I got my face pressed up against the nursery glass. She's sleeping like a rock. My name on her wrist, wearing pink socks. She's got my nose. She's got her mama's eyes. My brand new baby girl. She's a miracle. I saw God today. Now substitute blue for pink, boy for girl, he for she, and his for hers, and say them simultaneously. As Suzanne and I realized from the get-go, our kids are a true gift from God. As parents, we are all God's caretakers or proxies, raising our children through love, through God's love. Now that's love, love for life, love for eternity. It doesn't mean that life's path will always be smooth. But in the good times and in the difficult times, always know and trust that as parents, as fathers, we're not doing this alone. Another thing you realize is that each child is different. Jesus is always dealing with people differently. In our passage this morning, he tells Legion to return home and tell how much God has done for you. However, later in this chapter from Luke, after he heals Jairus' daughter, he ordered the parents not to tell anyone what had happened. In each case, I believe that Jesus did what was best for each person. As fathers, we are called to do the same. Two of my favorite days are the days Will and Katie were born. Suzanne's and my life together was never the same, but it has never been better. Will was born on a hot summer day in the south around 2:30 in the afternoon. Katie was born in the middle of a cold winter night up north with a foot of snow on the ground around 2:30 a.m. Will has brown hair and hazel-colored eyes. Katie has red hair and blue eyes. Though they are very different people, the thing that pleases us the most is how close they are to each other. Still, they are different, with different personalities, talents, hopes, and dreams. Will was a colicky baby. However, the day he was baptized, he was as calm and as quiet as he could be. It was like he told himself, I'm with Jesus today, and I come in peace. Katie was the perfect baby. Perfect. She wanted me to say that twice. No. Who hardly cried. However, on the day she was baptized, she cried like crazy, along with the several other babies baptized that Easter vigil night. It was like Katie told herself, I'm with Jesus today. Let's make some noise. If you've attended the Easter Vigil at St. Francis the past few years, you might have noticed that I like to read the creation story. Not only is this a beautiful passage, but the reason I always volunteer to read this passage from Genesis is because that's the lesson I read the night Katie was baptized. Each time I read it, that night, some 22 years ago, fills my memory as if it were yesterday. And I always find myself smiling and thanking God for being a father. My prayer is that each of us recognizes and understands the uniqueness of each child God asks us to help raise. Jesus was already praying for the demons to come out of Legion before he spoke with him. That's why the demons were afraid and told Christ to go away. Prayer. It is probably the most powerful tool we have as fathers. My best days are the days in which I find myself in regular dialogue with God, praying and listening as I try and discern God's path for me and for our family. It's the everyday prayers for our children throughout their lives that keep us focused as fathers. Also, our prayer life with God is a two-way street, and listening to God is just as important, if not more so, than talking to God. Prayer comes in different forms for each of us, as do the answers. And one of the most important stories on prayer was told to me by my grandfather. As Pop told the story, I could always tell that he was reliving a very painful yet amazing time in his life. It was February 21st, 1945. My grandfather had been sleeping. Suddenly, he woke up in a cold sweat and immediately knew that his only son's life was in danger. He glanced at the clock, got down on his knees, and prayed and prayed for God to save his son. He subsequently learned that at that exact time, two enemy planes conducted a suicide mission and crashed into the U.S. Navy carrier escort ship, the Bismarck Sea, operating the Pacific Ocean off Iwo Jima. My dad was one of six Marines on the ship, and moments before the attack, got up from the table where he was having dinner to go to the other side of the mess hall to get ketchup for himself and his friends at the table. While on the other side of the ship, the first attack took place. As my dad was running to get his life jacket, the second plane crashed into the ship, and my dad was thrown overboard into the ocean. The ship sunk, and all of my dad's friends at the dinner table died that night. Upon hitting the water, Dad inflated his trousers and shirt and used them to stay afloat as he joined together with a group of others as they tried to stay alive. Some 8 hours later, another U.S. ship picked up as many survivors as they could. Over half of the ship's crew died that night, but my dad lived and my grandfather was right there. I asked Pop how he knew, and he said it came to him as clear as day in a dream so powerful it woke him up. He said he never doubted the validity of his dream, and he did the only thing he could. He turned his son over to God. Stories are powerful, and this one has stayed with me always, as it taught me the power and beauty of honest, no-holds-barred, gut-wrenching prayer. It also taught me the value of being in tune with God on a daily basis, praying, listening, and communing with God. As fathers, prayer is our bread and butter. This passage today also is full of choices. Choices by Christ and choices by the man called Legion. The choice I would like to underscore is what this man did after being healed. Where do we find him? He's at the feet of Christ, learning how to live and how to love. The most important choice we as fathers can make is to place ourselves at the feet of Christ. If we're going to lead our children to Christ and Christ's kingdom, we need to go there first. When given the choice, our family truly likes spending time together. We even found ourselves laughing around the aisles of a grocery store late last night. As the kids were growing up, we often moved as a pack. We ran errands together, went to the movies together, went to one of the kids' games or plays or concerts together, and always went to church together. Moving so often, we always jumped right into church, often volunteering for events on our first visit to a new parish. If we didn't, Will and Katie would look perplexed and ask us why we hadn't signed up to help at the church country fair or whatever. One of my favorite times at this parish is when the friars cook the Lenten suppers. and run our barbecues and bring their kids to help, starting them young. What a great choice. Over the years, I've often asked friends of mine what they considered were the keys to being a great father. My favorite tidbits of advice include the following. Spend time with your kids. Love them unconditionally. Listen to them. Always be honest. Be patient. Sweat the small stuff. Give them the freedom to be themselves. And always live your own life with integrity in order to be an example to your kids. The choices we make as fathers are vitally important because our kids are always watching, listening, and learning. Dear God, help us to make the best choices we can through you and to help our children do the same. Okay, I have a confession. The first time my grandfather read today's passage to me, I laughed, earning me a questioning glance from Pop. But let's face it, if cameras were rolling then, and the scene of the demons entering the herd of swine and running over the cliff were put on YouTube, it would have had a million-plus hits instantly. Forgive me. I grew up watching the TV show Laugh-In when we regularly laughed at a guy falling over on his tricycle. Now, I'm not going to analyze this part of the lesson, but it did prompt me to consider the value of using humor in raising our kids and the joy we find in good, honest laughter. I know this may come as a surprise to many of you, but I love bad puns. And always remember looking for opportunities to share my puns with Will and Katie and their friends. Katie was always quick to try and stop her friends from laughing, telling them that they would only encourage me. True. The fun part is that it works both ways. Both Katie and Will each have a quick and keen sense of humor. They tell Suzanne and me, mainly me, to be nice to them because they are the ones who will pick out our nursing home. Life is serious enough as it is without taking time to laugh with our kids. Finally, this story is about joy. Christ changed Legion forever and sent him home to tell how much God had done for him. Wow. Wow. Can you imagine the joy that came out of his story? It makes me wish for the sequel. But in reality, the sequel is playing out every day in towns and homes around the world. And that's how God works. What a joy and gift it is to be a father. Dads, as you really look at your son, your daughter, I just know you can't help but say to yourself, I saw God today. Happy Father's Day.